if you would, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And while you turn there, I want to ask you by a show of hands, who here holds prejudices? Can I see your hand if you have prejudices? If you... All right, you can put them down. Everybody else, who here is a liar? Can you hold up your hand? If you didn't hold up your hand the first time, you can be holding it up now. Prejudice, let me give you a few definitions. It's preconceived judgment or opinion. It's an adverse opinion or leaning that's formed without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. Prejudice is an unfavorable opinion or feeling formed beforehand or without knowledge, thought, or reason. Those are all different things. But prejudice is our brain's way of categorizing things quickly. We all have prejudices. It's our brain's way of, before you can even really think, categorizing things. And all of us carry some prejudices. Let me give you some examples. Imagine for a moment you came to visit my house, and then we go walking together, and we're out in our neighborhood, in my neighborhood, and you don't know anybody that lives around there. We're just kind of walking down a country road, and imagine that this dog comes running towards you. How do you respond? Oh, okay. Oh. Now, imagine that this dog comes running towards you. Or how about this dog? Very different response, right? Or how about this dog? Other than getting hungry for Taco Bell, you're like... Now, wait a second. Wait, hang on. You don't know those dogs personally. Why are you so prejudiced? You have prejudices, right? You have quickly formed thoughts and opinions. So we are all prejudiced. Now, maybe, depending on what neighborhood you grew up in, any big dog is a threat, right? And so maybe even the golden retriever scares you. Now, let's get a little more personal. Imagine for a moment, if you will, that you are in New York City, and you've gone to a Broadway play, and then you've gone to eat afterward, and it's late. And I guess New York never sleeps, but you've got to go down and get on the subway now. And you go down into the subway, and there's not many people around at all, but you see this guy leaning against the wall. You worried? Just you and him in there? You worried? All these skinhead tattoos, right? Now imagine you see this guy leaning against the wall. It is the same guy who grew to understand what he was a part of and had all of his tattoos removed. And it had been changed. It's a CBS story that I was able to find. Now imagine you walk in and this guy's leaning back against the wall. This guy is known as Plug, or was known as Plug. Oliver Campbell was killed in an ongoing gang battle in 2015 in Atlanta, Georgia. Imagine you walk down and you see these guys. Part of the MS-13, one of the most violent gangs in the world, an El Salvadorian gang. You going to be nervous? You don't know these guys. You don't know them, right? Imagine you walk down and see these guys leaning against the wall. Feel pretty comfortable, right? Group of businessmen. Finally, what if you walk in and see these guys there? Very nervous, right? Now, again, you don't know any of these people, but you have these very quick preconceived ideas when you see these people, right? Based upon their appearance. Because based upon their appearance, they are trying to project something. Now, our physical bodies, I told you last week, are all the same, right? Rudy and I had to make sure they've tested all of our stuff with one another, and we had to make sure, for those of you who know, at least, that we weren't dealing with an Archie Bunker, George Jefferson situation, right? The thing is, his body doesn't care, because it's the same as mine. Doesn't care what skin color is there. But people often try, based upon their appearance, to send a certain message about what they're about. For instance, even a little bit simpler, Rudy wears Patriots gear around sometimes, right? Steven wears Astro stuff around, right? They are wanting to identify themselves with cheaters, right? That's how they want to be identified. No, they well, for whatever reason, want to be identified with those teams, right? But here's the thing. Prejudices develop in our lives in several different ways. Let me give you five real quickly. We generalize past personal experiences. You have an experience with one person, and then you assume that's the way everybody who looks like that person or is in that same education level or social class or whatever it may be, you assume that everybody's the same. And we develop prejudices that way. The experiences of others that are shared with us. We develop prejudices based upon family members and friends telling us stories about what's happened to them, and then all of a sudden we begin to generalize that for other people. We do it based upon historical information. We learn about history and we begin to generalize, and actually historical information is just another way of shared experiences. Fourth, we do it through stories from our culture, from your culture, from your subculture, from my subculture. And then fifth, through the images and reels we see through different media. You see things in a movie, you see things on a TV show, you see things on the news, wherever it may be, and you begin to make generalizations about that. By the way, for the most part, the news always puts everybody in a bad light, right? But then we begin to make these generalizations. And it explains a lot for us, when we have these prejudices that we develop from that, it explains a lot about the different perspectives that we have, right? And the different initial reactions we have to situations. Because all these stories are in our mind, and we're quickly making judgment value judgments based upon all these stories and our experiences and all of that that happens. Maybe you've heard some of these before. You can't trust unions. You can't trust men. You can't trust women. You can't trust car salespeople. You can't trust bankers. You can't trust rich people. You can't trust poor people. People on welfare or disability are lazy. All wealthy people are greedy. Don't trust the police. And of course, my favorite, all preachers are in it for the money. But you and I, if you are here today and you are a Christian, we are called to not be prejudiced and show partiality. In fact, the New Testament talks a lot about partiality, and partiality is the outworking of prejudice that we hold within our heart when we begin to show partiality. So one man gets the benefit of the doubt because of his skin color while another man doesn't. Or what may be a concern or a difficult thing for all of us is you speak kindly to one person because of his or her high position, but you speak unkindly to others because in your mind they're beneath you and they're not as important. In fact, I was talking to Anant, I don't know, probably a year or two ago, and he told me when they're interviewing people for residency for medical school now, they will plant people around the hospital to see how these new people who want to be residents will respond to the custodian, how they will respond to the nurse, the receptionist, to whoever. And they will plant people there, and they will get that report back of do they treat people differently because of what they perceive as their position. So if you're going to look for a job, teenagers, at some point, just know that's the way things are operating now. But the problem of prejudice is it is a heart issue. And laws have a place, but laws will never change the heart, right? So what we talked about last week with some history. Just because of the Emancipation Proclamation didn't change everybody's heart, towards how they felt towards Africans, African Americans at that point. So let me give you quickly, and I'm moving pretty quick today because Rudy did preach more than he wanted to say he was. Why, as believers, we should eliminate prejudice within our own lives. Number one, because we're to imitate God, who shows no partiality. I'm going to read several verses for you as we go through this. You can write those down. I'm not going to give you time to turn to all of them just because of time. But Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 19 says this: For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Amen? That's who he is. But here's who else he is: who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. They're talking about those in society who were considered the lowest of the low. He executes justice for them. And he loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. And then it says, love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. He says, you act this way because God acts this way. Christians, we are to imitate God, who shows no partiality. Secondly, we're called to carry out the teachings of Scripture without partiality or prejudice. Keep your finger there in Psalm, if you got to Psalm earlier, and turn to the book of James. James chapter 2, if you would. James chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to tell you, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you, Timothy, to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. But this is towards the end of his letter to Timothy. He says, Timothy, all these things I've told you about older ladies and younger ladies and older men and younger men and all elders and deacons and all that, he says, I want you to do all that with no partiality. You're to execute these things. And then in James chapter 2, verse 1, it says, My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And then James goes through this and he says, For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, You sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, You stand over there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? He says, You have evil thoughts when you are showing prejudice and partiality. You become judges with evil thoughts. Listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? And then in verse 8, listen carefully. If you really fulfill the royal law found according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. If you show partiality. So we're called to carry out all the teachings of Scripture without partiality. Third, for you as believers, prejudice ignores or devalues the image of God that he's placed in each one of us. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1. There's so much in Genesis chapter 1. But in Genesis chapter 1, it's clear that God made male and female in the image of God. He created them. That's what it tells us. Every man, every woman, you say, yeah, but you don't know what they're doing. It doesn't matter. They are still in the image of God. And when we show prejudice towards people, we are devaluing that image of God. Fourth, prejudice hinders the unity of the body of Christ. We are told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, talking about within the body of Christ, and prejudice destroys that. Prejudice creates my little group or your little group and the ones that are important or not. And Paul, all the way throughout all of his letters, is dealing with those kinds of things. 1 Corinthians over and over and over again of who the spiritual and who's the unspiritual people that they kept trying to divide. He's like, keep unified, for there's one God and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? One Spirit. So prejudice hinders the unity of the body of Christ. And then the last thing I would say is, therefore, prejudice makes an idol of our personal preferences. Prejudice makes an idol of our personal preferences. I heard this phrase, I think about a week or two ago. I was listening to an interview with David Platt. Some of you know some of his books and things that he's got out there, the secret church thing that he does. But he brought this out really well, and he says that prejudice, when we begin to elevate personal preferences above the commands of God to be unified, to keep the unity of the body of Christ, now we have elevated that to the place. It is an idol. Our preference becomes an idol because it keeps us from obeying the Word of God. And that's what an idol is, right? And so we have to be careful that our preferences don't become more important to us than what God has called us to. And so let me move quickly. This is our calling. So how do we root out and eliminate prejudice? Every one of us here deals with it. Every one of us here. How do we deal with it? First of all, it's from the inside out. It's from the inside out. Your heart must be changed. Your heart's got to be changed. Here's the thing you think, well, I'm just making up my mind. I'm not going to. And there's a place which our will plays. But how many of you know, I've been reading through a book that Brad Nickel gave me, and it points this out very clearly from Dallas Willard and from others. Your will is very unreliable, isn't it? My will is very unreliable. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to exercise today. I'm not going to sit on the couch eating potato chips watching TV. And what do you find yourself doing later? Right? Our wills are not very reliable. So the key to us being transformed is for the heart to change inside of us, that it now comes out that our will is the will of God. Amen? That's what God calls for us to do. And so your heart's got to be changed by being in the presence of God. And I don't mean for an hour a week. Constantly keep calling out on the Lord to change your heart. He will empower you. He will do it. But you cannot think, I'm going to change from 1 hour a week. You won't. And your will let you down and again in situations you get into. Secondly, related to that, is spend time letting the Word of God transform you by the renewing of your mind. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable, right? For teaching, for training, for reproof, for correction, right? That the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How much time do you spend letting the Word of God and what He says renew your mind compared to the talking heads on news, influencers on TikTok, or even friends who have in mind the things of men and not the things of God? It is a renewal that has to take place in our hearts and in our minds. And that's, listen, some of you are thinking, well, this is the same thing you say all the time. You're right. This is God's plan for change in our lives. And it doesn't change with the issue of prejudice from the issue of whatever else it is that you're dealing with. It is the same plan for all of our situations. God can change you, but you put yourself in the place where God changes you. Third, spend time allowing God to search you and speak to you. Now, this is our Psalm 139 passage, the very last two verses. Some of you know these from heart. The writer, probably David, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David is saying, and we read other psalms where he says day and night, and talking about meditating on the Word of God. He said, "God, search me and try me. I want to know what there is, and God, change me." Now, this is what's funny to me about this passage. You think, well, what would be funny about this? Our own heart, and I want to make it clear, our own hearts deceive us. You see, even in the prejudice thing, we think, I'm not prejudiced about anybody or anything. And we are. Our own hearts deceive us, because when David writes this, two verses before, Listen to what David says. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God. See if there's anything within me. Here's what you need to know, and I'm not, we're all like David to some degree, right? The Bible doesn't advocate everything that it reports. And so this, when we get to the New Testament, we find out Jesus tells us, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You think God was excited? Oh, David, I love you because you hate people who hate me. No, God wants him to love those people, right? That becomes very clear to us. But David is off, and David doesn't even recognize it. And what I would say is you and I have to take time and let God search our hearts. That means turning off things. That means reading the Scripture and sitting and meditating and listening to God speak to you. Fourth, get around godly men and women who can help keep you accountable and have permission to speak truth to you. Get around godly men and women who can hold you accountable and speak truth to you. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Saying you got to have some people tell you the truth that they see in you, and you got to give them permission to do that. None of us likes that, right? Don't you love it when your spouse points out something that you're doing wrong? No, none of us like that. None of us do. When James is writing in James chapter 2 and telling them, hey, you guys are discerning, you're creating these things, I'm sure everybody in that church was like, me? Not me. But they were. And so, but you've got to have somebody who will do that. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Your ability, my ability to overcome prejudice will not increase if you keep hanging around and listening to prejudiced people. It's not going to do it. Whether they're prejudiced against women or against men. Men, you get together with some other guys, oh, those ladies. Or ladies, you get together with some other ladies, and like, oh, men are all there. You will not increase or grow in this and get beyond that, listening to that junk all of the time. And I'll say something here, and I'll come back to it again next week. Let me say something to those of you that are older. You say, well, what's older? Older than me, okay? That's older, right? We carry prejudices. And some of you had experiences. I'm sure I would be just as prejudiced about whatever you're prejudiced about had I had your experiences. Somehow we have to be able to share stories with kids without passing along prejudice. And prejudice is handed down from generation to generation. So I'm saying to those of you who are parents, who are grandparents, who have influence on those who are younger, who work with kids in schools or whatever, do not hand that down. Because some of the things that you experience, they're probably not going to experience. Just like they're experiencing a lot of stuff that you didn't experience, right? And so don't hand down your prejudice to others. I don't know the answer to that of how you share stories without handing that down. But we've got to figure out a way to do it. And then fifth, I would say is this. Spend time around some people who are different than you. Different backgrounds than you. It is amazing to see how some prejudices are weakened the more we get to know others who are different than us. This is why every time I talk to people who have military background, it's just such a different story. Because they were forced into positions where they had to be around people who were different than others, who were different than them, who came from different states and different places. And some of them are in battle, and they're in holes together with these guys, or they're working side by side with those people. And I was talking to some different people this week, and you just develop friendships as you found out, you know, this guy's no different than I am. He's got the same issues I have. He's got the same problems I have. And that can happen at work. It can happen at school. But you've got to get yourself in that place where you find that out. And even if it's not a skin color kind of thing, some of you, you went to school and you had a problem with somebody else at school, or they had a problem with you, and y'all didn't like each other all the way through school. And then somehow later on, y'all ended up around each other like, I don't know why we didn't like each other. Because you were never around each other. And you never found out. And maybe there was some petty teenage stuff going on. I don't know. But you found out we're pretty much the same. And I would say you've just got to get yourself around some people who are different than you. And it will help in tearing down some of this prejudice. So there's the internal that has to happen that only God can do. And only God can transform the heart. Amen? So get yourself in His presence. And then on the external side, get yourself around some people who will help keep you accountable, who will say, you know, the way you were talking to that person, that wasn't okay. Or the things that I heard you say, that's not okay. And then get yourself around some people who are different than you to help work through the prejudice. Well, this was the easy sermon. Next week, we want to talk about what is just dividing people like crazy around here. And we want to talk about critical race theory and justice and where it may match up or not match up with biblical justice and what God has to say about justice. So next week will be the week that a bunch of you are going to be like, you're way to the left of me. And others are going to say, you're way to the right of me. And everybody will walk out equally frustrated. And that can bring us together, right? That we're all frustrated. But I want to say again, as you come next week, we want to look at what the Word of God has to say to us. And what does God say is justice? And where are some things that we might be able to say, hey, there's some agreement here, and where are some areas that we might want to say, we can't go there, because that's not biblical. And we want to do that next week.